Proverbs chapter number 6, Proverbs 6 tonight, verse number 12, we'll start reading. Again, thank you for being here, and hope this study in Proverbs has been a help to you. I get it. I mean, you know, when you first start preaching, especially when you're not pastoring, you know, and you've got a lot of time to work on messages, you know, sometimes you pull stuff out and you go, man, this is really good, and it is, because it's God's word. Then you start pastoring, you're new to a church, and you go, I want to be fresh. You know, I want to preach stuff that's fresh. And I was talking to a preacher just Saturday, and I was like, late Saturday afternoon, so what are you doing? He said, get my message ready for Sunday, which again, he may have just been finishing it up. But, you know, the Bible tells us this, preach the word, right? That's it. I mean, if systematically preaching through the word, there was a time years ago that I did that in the book of Genesis. I've told you this before, that, and first time I ever did it, and I thought, boy, people are going to hate it, you know, because it's probably going to be boring. We're going chapter and verse, and they're going to think, man, you know, let's move on to something else. But it is amazing how God, it seemed like every service, someone would come up and say, you know, I was going through that, and that helped me. And so we don't really, I think sometimes we make too much of being dynamic. See what I'm saying? We make too much about our message and not enough about the Word of God. The reality is we could just stand here and read God's Word to you tonight and close in prayer. And if that's not enough, you know, then we're in trouble. And so the Word of God's powerful. And so Proverbs chapter number 6, I'm not going to do that, by the way. Some of you got this look like, man, we're going to get out of here early tonight. No, you're not. No, you're not. And Proverbs 6, verse number 12, I like biblical, a naughty person, you know, a naughty person. I think we ought to bring that back, don't you? There's too much slang going around in the world. I don't know what people are calling. Just a naughty person. That's what the Bible said, a naughty person. A wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Now let's not gloss over that. Did you get that? Verse number 14. Frowardness in his heart, right? That's where it starts. Notice what it says. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now you know this scripture coming up. You've probably read it many times, heard messages on it. These six things doth the Lord hate. That's strong wording, right? Didn't say he disliked it. The Bible said the Lord hates it. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. But Matt said, says these things, right? These six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are abomination. Now we would probably look at an abomination. Again, the Bible calls this an abomination. The Sodomite lifestyle is called an abomination. But can we see here that when the Bible used the word abomination, it's pretty important. It's not something we should gloss over. It's not something that we say, well, I don't think it's that big a deal, because God thinks it's a big deal. And so I want to preach on this thought, how wisdom guides us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've realized this. Ellen and I were talking today, and, you know, it is interesting that talking about Brother Fry, and you guys know this, he has been a big influence in my life. He's helped me in the ministry. He's counseled me, and other men of God, Bobby Robertson, counseled me, and Brother Buchanan's been a great counsel to me over the years. But one thing I've learned is they're all older than me. They all have more experience than I have. They have seen and done more than I have, right? And so a lot of times people don't want to hear from older people. They think, well, they don't understand where I am. So we don't want the guidance of anyone unless they agree with us. Brother Eddie, if they agree with us, we think they're geniuses. If they disagree with us, we think that they have lost their mind. And so we all need guidance. And really the fact is, biblical guidance is always right. You can't go wrong guiding someone with the Bible. Sometimes people come and they'll say, okay, I need some counseling, and I'll take them to the Bible. So what's the Bible say? Well, I know what the Bible says. Then what are we doing here? If you know what the Bible says, there's no need to come to me, right? If you have questions about what the Bible says, then I can guide you to the Bible. But the fact is, when the Bible says, it doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what these politicians are saying. Doesn't matter what Oprah says, Dr. Phil. Doesn't matter. When God speaks, that is the final authority. And the thing is this, God wants to guide us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his word. He doesn't want us, listen, making a mess out of our life. But the fact is, we get away from the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the word of God, and we make a mess out of our life, and we do things our way. And that is not God's plan for us. God does not want us going through what we're going through. And if we're honest tonight, most of the trials that we go through are self-inflicted wounds. Right? I mean, we get ourselves in a mess, so I don't understand why I'm going through this. Well, if you really will examine it, you would see that, but we would rather deny it and blame it on everything else. So if we would take God's word from the beginning and say, you know what, the Bible warns me about this, I'm going to stay away from it, then we don't have to hear the correction of the word of God, because we've already had the counsel of the word of God. But when we won't listen to the counsel of the word of God, then we have to accept the correction of the word of God. And so here, wisdom can also guide us away from criminal behavior, from behavior that is unbecoming a Christian. And that's what, listen, we were talking about in the vestibule just a few moments ago, Brother Tim and Brother Kenneth and I. And I think Brother Kenneth said something like, or one of them said this, said, you know, sometimes you just can't believe what comes out of people's mouth. And people that say they're saved. But the Bible tells us what comes out here is what's in here. And that, it doesn't matter what you think. The evidence is whatever comes out here is what's in here. If rebellion comes out here, rebellion's in the heart. If edification comes out here, edification's in the heart. And that's a biblical principle. Jesus told us that, right? And so we have to realize that you can argue with God, but the fact is, when the word of God tells us that settles it. God's not up for debate. And so the word of God can get us away from a lot of mess. It keeps out trouble. I'll say this. If I would have listened to that little gray-haired lady there, I would not have got in near as much trouble as I did. Brother Jerry, I wouldn't have had to figure out how to get out of the mess that I was in if I just listened to her counsel to start with. But somewhere in our brain, we think, I've got it figured out. Well, maybe when it comes to parents, you may have it figured out, but the Bible said, obey your parents. But I promise you this, even if you're smarter than your parents are, you're not going to be smarter than God. So here's two things I'll share with you in this scripture, how wisdom guides us. First of all, it talks about the criminal. In verse 12, a naughty person, wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. So this is not just someone, sometimes we look at our children, they'll get in some trouble and we'll say, oh man, they're being naughty. No, that's not what it's talking about. This is a very strong word. And so that word naughty means this, a man of Belial or a worthless person. You didn't know you was calling your kid worthless when you called him naughty, did you, parents? No, naughty is the fact really that a man of Belial is an idol worshiper. Worthless. So the Bible said a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. So look at the way the scripture is set up there. It doesn't say is like. It says is. And so a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. So when Solomon, in this scripture, the word wicked means injurious. Someone who is always trying to injure other people has a spiritual problem. A lot of times we'll say things like this. Well, they're just insecure. So they have to tear others down. It's deeper than that. See, we got to get to the place where we start examining things by the Word of God and realize a lot of these emotional problems people have, a lot of the psychological problems people have, are really spiritual problems. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not a doctor, but I'm saying this. When the Bible says this, that a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth, that word wicked means injurious. So when someone is trying to injure all the time, you met anybody like that? They're always trying to hurt people. Not always physically, often verbally, right? And now, the day we live in, there's an avenue to do that, right? There's more than one avenue to do that. And so we have to realize Solomon in this scripture had moral depravity, corruption, and lewdness in mind. So as you look at this scripture in verse 13, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his finger. And understanding the Eastern culture, I was reading this, that in their judicial system, there's a lot of corruption. I know you wouldn't believe that because there's no corruption goes on in our judicial system. I mean, we have the most pure country that's ever walked the face of the earth. But a lot of times they wouldn't do things or say things with their words. They would say things with gestures. Now, we live in a different day today, but there were techniques, right, in business that you could say something without saying something. Sometimes, I remember growing up, your parents could say something without saying something. Here's one of them. If you ever got the snapping point, it's fixing to get on, right? And so, in that culture, what he's saying is that corruption was not verbal. Because a lot of times people say things like this. They say that, I don't remember the percentage, maybe 90%, maybe that's too high, maybe 80% of communication is nonverbal. You hear that? Miss Tammy probably knows, she studies that, but a good portion of communication is nonverbal. I mean, if I were up here preaching tonight, and I read scripture like this, you'd say he's probably not real interested in preaching. So kind of like when I look out and see you asleep, you're not saying I'm not interested, but you're showing it, right? So there's a lot of communication that's nonverbal. And so here it's oftentimes we'll do things, we'll say, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say it. You didn't hear me say it, right? But wickedness is not always verbal. And so the wicked man's deeds, as he deals with in verse 12 through 12 and 13, that this froward, naughty person, this wicked man walks with a froward mouth. He winketh his eyes. So the wicked man, man's deeds, the Lord knows this man's heart and estimates these people are worthless and wicked. You ever thought about that? You ever wondered how God sees you? You say he sees me as a child of God. I'm saved by the grace of God, and God, we're okay. But didn't the Lord talk about us talking about being salt? And if the salt lost its savor, what'd he say it was? Good for nothing or worthless, right? So you ever thought about yourself how, you know, because sometimes we say the right things, right? Anybody remember Leave It to Beaver? Eddie Haskell? Yeah. One of my friends, my mother called him Eddie Haskell because he'd come to my house and say, "Hello, Miss McDaniel, how are you?" And she's like, "I don't trust him." "How are you today, Mrs. McDaniel? My, you look nice today." She's like, "He's Eddie Haskell." He was a deceiver, right? And she was right. You ever thought about this? You can say all the right things, act the right way in church, act the right, but God knows what's going on in here. He sure does. How your actions should be an outflow or an outpouring of what God's doing inside. If what comes out of our mouth starts in the heart, so do our actions. This wicked man, this naughty person, this son of Belial is not wicked. Basically what the scripture is saying is these deeds are done because of what's going on in here. It also deals with the wicked man's deceit in verse 14. Frowardness in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. That word frowardness means this, deceitful. You ever met somebody that they didn't lie, they just didn't give you the whole truth? And when you approach them, they say, well, I didn't lie to you. But you did. Because if you don't give the whole truth, it's deceit. We see this in advertising, right? That's probably something we can all relate to. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But that dude that puts that screen door in the bottom of that boat, puts that spray on it, and it doesn't leak. Does it? I'm not going to do it. So we see all that and we'll say, well, you know what it does? It poisons us because someone could be telling the truth about a product, but we've seen all this nonsense and we'll say, well, it's all the same. That's why we had to be careful with our testimony, because people look at us as Christians and they'll say, oh, I saw him and he said he was a Christian and I work with him and he cusses and he does this and this and this. And then you try to share the gospel with them, they're saying, well, they're all the same. The wicked man deceit. How many times you heard people say, I'm not going to church because it's a bunch of hypocrites? You say, are you saved? Don't you go ahead and I sure am. Then you're a hypocrite. I mean, if you're living in the world and you say you're saved, you're a hypocrite. And their concern is, well, at least I'm not a hypocrite, but you really are. Well, I'd rather be in the hospital if I'm sick, right? That's like people going to the hospital and saying they're a hypocrite because they're not perfect when they go in the hospital. You don't go in the hospital if you're feeling well, right? You go, unless you're visiting, but you go in the hospital when you're sick. And so it's no different with church. We're here. We're not perfect, right? We're flawed human beings. We're coming to learn how to be more like Christ. But when people say, I don't go to church because of hypocrites, well, okay. Then don't go to the hospital if you're sick. Don't go to the doctor if you're sick, because in the doctor's office are sick people. They're where they're supposed to be. But we get in this mindset of deceit and we want to, you know, when I was growing up, there was, and I'm sure it's this way now, there was a group of kids that grew up in this part of the county and they had money and they had, you know, all this stuff. And then there's people grew up in this part of the county and they didn't have as much, and people grew up in this part. And so oftentimes kids would deceive. You go to school, you want to fit in. You deceive people for them to think you had more than you had, because you won't fit in. So the wicked man's deceit, frowardness means deceitful, and deceitfulness and discord are the wicked man's daily delight. He likes deceiving people. He likes sowing discord, right? He likes division. You're hearing a lot about that now, right? We need unity in our country. And everybody else is, the Republicans saying the Democrats are sowing division, and the Democrats saying that the president's sowing division. Well, it's all wicked. See? It's all the devil trying to divide. Same thing happens in church. And Brother Johnny, we get in our mind, well, I'm right because I heard. There's the first problem, you heard. This was going on, and I want to stand on the right side of righteousness and justice. But the fact is, you don't know the whole story. And most of the time, it ain't none of your business anyway. And so, someone who is always stirring up trouble, that's the picture, right? Someone who is always causing division, and sowing discord and deceitful, and they'll tell 90% of the truth, not 100%. 90% is right, 10% is wrong, and it's always to sow division. That's the picture that we have. the wicked man's deceit. And then the Bible says this, the wicked man's doom in verse 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Here's the thing. I told you years ago, I've told you many times, that we were probably here 2 years. There were a little group in the church sowing discord. Didn't want me there. They had lost control, right? And so they were spreading rumors and sowing discord. And I was young and I was mad and I was hot-tempered. And I said, man, I'm going to straighten it out. I'm going to get up the pulpit. I'm going to call them out from the pulpit one Sunday morning. I'm going to let everybody know what liars they are. Brother Paul, I talked to an older preacher. He said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I said, but they're lying about me. He said, you just play dead. I said, but you don't understand. He said, yeah, I've been preaching a long time. I understand. And so I did. I listened to him play dead, didn't raise a stir. You know what? God took care of it. It's happened. Guess what? That wasn't the only time. It's happened again. And I noticed, you learn the first time, if you'll listen to the word of God, the Bible said, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. God's going to take care of it. God's going to vindicate you if you just live for him. You don't have to fight your own battles. You don't have to go out there and straighten the story out. If you'll just keep living for God and outlive them, right? Outlive that false accusation and keep living for God and don't let the discord and don't let the deceit pull you down and rise above it. You say, oh, preacher, I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. Yeah, you are. You got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. So you can do it. You just got to choose to do it. And it's not easy. But we have to understand, Brother Eddie, that God is going to vindicate. So we see the criminal. Then, number two, I want you to see the creator. What does the creator? It doesn't matter what you think, right? Doesn't matter what I think. Here's the thing. Just like we live in today. And the day we live in, people say things like this. I don't think, you know, Brother Jimmy, I don't think it's wrong for two men to get married or two women to get married. I don't think it's wrong if a woman wants to be a man or a man wants to be a woman. That's their choice. But that's your emotional decision, right? Let them live their life. Okay, well, I'm okay. Let them live their life. But I'm not going to say it's right. Because the Bible doesn't say it's right. But I'm also not going to get up and run them through the ringer, right? You're not going to win them that way. But what happens is we have to realize what God says about things is the final authority. He is the creator. And you look at this list of things, and honestly, I mean, we look at it, and we're probably, Brother Justin, thinking some of this is not that big a deal. But God thought it was a big deal. I read in Scripture a few months ago where, you remember in the Old Testament, there was a guy that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. God told him to stone him. I mean, I doubt the guy was out there just one Saturday Sabbath going, you know what, I'm bored. I'm going to go out and pick up some sticks. I mean, he may have had to cook. I mean, we don't know. But you and I look at it and think, well, that's silly. But it doesn't matter what you and I think. God has established it. And so you and I have to look at this list as this is a mandate, or this is a dictate from the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, and whatever God thinks about it, I've got to think about it, right? And not only not only for someone else, I have to think about it for me. See, the Word of God has got to be a mirror that I see my reflection in. So these are things that God is telling me. I'm not supposed to go out and look at everybody else and say, well, here's his problem, here's her problem, here's what she needs to clean up. I'm to take this list, these six things, seven things, an abomination to him, and examine my own life with it and say, is there anything in there that God sees that God hates? Now how are we living? Because I can see it in you. And you can see it in me. And we can look. Listen, how easy is it, right, to turn on the news and see all this stuff going on, and we're going, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. But how often do we take the same Bible that we know to be true and turn it on ourselves and say, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. So we're no better than all the people we're criticizing saying they're not right. I don't think these rioters and protesters are right. I think they've lost their mind. I think 95% of the politicians in Washington are crazy. I think they're crooked. I think, honestly, a lot of these experts with this whole virus thing, I think they're crooked. There's a lot of crookedness and wickedness in the world. And it's not all in Washington. It's not all in Raleigh. Some of it's in church houses. Some of it's in people's houses. Some of it's in business. But listen, I can't stick my head in the sand and say, look at all this corruption going on, when I can look at the Word of God and God saying, hey, I want you to examine yourself. And I won't even examine my, that's why we don't have revival. We won't examine ourselves. We can look at Washington and say, here's the problem with America. But friend, the problem with America is sitting in our churches. I remember a day when Wednesday night, listen, the building would be packed. And I realized we're in the middle of pandemic COVID-19. Listen, all right? So if you're watching from home, and I've said 1,000 times, say 1,000 more. If you're at home, you say, I just don't feel comfortable coming back yet, understand it. But Brother Jerry, our churches are not full tonight, not because of a virus. They weren't full before the virus. Hey, they ain't been full in decades. You know why? Because we don't care. We don't want to hear what's wrong with us. We'd rather sit home and watch Fox News so they can say what's wrong with everybody else. So here we see what the Creator thinks. Look at verse 16. You see the exclamation. The Bible said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. That's pretty strong. We don't always see God's hand visibly at work addressing wrong. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that God's not actively knowing, is not actively knowing what's going on. He acts decisively, but we must take into account his compassion, patience, and grace. I mean, I was glad for the grace and patience of God, because honestly, if God took this Bible and examined your life and mine and gave us what we deserved, we wouldn't take one breath on earth. Daily, right? Daily, we would experience the judgment of God. And so we better be careful. Amen. Listen to me. We better be careful when we're just looking down our spiritual nose at everybody else and say, I tell you what, they ain't right with God. I don't know why God ain't judging them. I don't know why this ain't happening to them. And then we look at ourselves, right? We'll say things like, well, I don't know what I deserved or did to do to deserve this. Stop looking at yourself as better than you are. Amen. Bible tells us we're not to look at ourselves, right? We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. If you know what will humble us? When we see ourselves like God sees us. But Matt, we think we got it all figured out, man. We look and say, oh, look. Wednesday night, I'm at church. Hallelujah. Look how much I love Jesus. We put a little money in the offering plate. Sacrificing for the Lord. If we hand out a tract, we get extra bonus points for that. Right? But those are all outward things. What's going on in here? Jealous? Bitter, envious, strife, hatred. Huh? Then we see the explanation. Look at these quickly in verse 17. I'll give these to you. The Bible starts out with this, a proud look. A disdainful look, looking down their nose at someone. You ever done that? Oh, we independent Baptists, we're good at that. They don't have the convictions and standards that we have, right? Don't get me wrong. Listen, I like convictions and standards. I think it gives order. But I don't have to pastor every church in America. I don't have to look at everybody else's music and say whether I like it or not. I don't have to look at everybody else's dress and say whether or not they're right with God. Hello? Sometimes we get a little proud, don't we? It's like this. I was growing up. We were not poor. But we grew up in a town that everybody thought was trash. Mom will tell you, I mean, if you came from Coolamy, everybody else in the county thought you was trash. There was some rough ones in there, I promise you that. They got a whole Facebook page. I went on it the other day, and they said people were giving the nicknames of people. I was like, man, I didn't even, Squirrel. Justin, he knows Squirrel. That's some of his kinfolk. Doodle, Fuzz, Ape. We had some rough people down there. That a lot of them was in jail. A lot of my kids I went to school with ended up in Black Mountain Reform School or jail. And that's what people thought about the town I grew up in. We weren't poor. We weren't rich, but I mean we were comfortable. But when people heard you grew up in Coolamy, you went to Davie High School, they did this. Now, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't change it. I probably had more fun as a kid than all of them put together. But that was what they did, Brother. Or then, when you went up to middle school, you went to South Davie, and you had North Davie. The kids from South Davie, they, you know. Then you went to Davie High, and the kids from West Forsyth. And we laugh, but that's what we do. That's what we do spiritually. We're not lifting people up, trying to help them get a closer walk with God. We're looking down our nose. Everybody's not exactly where you are. Some people just got saved, and they're going to make some dumb mistakes. And you're going, they probably didn't get it. They probably did. They just don't know any better, right? So you help them. But even if they've been saved 30 years, Brother Jimmy, we don't know exactly what God's doing. And so maybe what we need to do is not look down our spiritual nose, that disdainful look. That pride is the father of sin. But Jesus was humble unto death. If anybody'd have a right to look down their nose at somebody, it'd be the Savior. Then the Bible says this, a lying tongue. Deceitful tongue. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus is truth. You ever met somebody? You probably watch them, and you will from now on, right? All the ads that are coming on TV. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. All the lying and deceit that goes on. Yeah? And so when we lie, when our life is a lie, when we see deceit, it's not the Lord. Then you see hands that shed innocent blood. Deadly hands, those who shed the blood of the innocent. Jesus embraced the innocent. Now I'm going to say this, you can get mad at me if you want to, but there is no way, if you're saved and you love the Lord, you're going to vote for somebody that endorses abortion. There's no way. You say, I don't care if you think I ought to get political. This is shedding innocent blood. You ever thought about this? Maybe the guy that was going to invent the cure for COVID-19 was aborted. You ever thought maybe the guy that was going to cure cancer, the lady that had the cure for cancer, was aborted? Innocent blood. This little boy that got shot. What a stir, man. He didn't do it. He's five. Is that where we are? People are. You got him arguing, defending this guy. He shot a five-year-old. I don't care what color he is. You shoot a five-year-old, they ought to fry you. But somebody that's going to hurt, you know what? These little mentally handicapped children, people hurt them, man, they ought to throw the book at them. I think if you hurt a dog, you ought to somebody throw a book at. Of course, I like dogs, but I like people a lot of times, amen. Innocent people. This poor guy in this riot the other night, laying on the ground, got jumped. He's laying on the ground. Somebody runs up and roundhouse kicks him in the head. Man, they ought to throw the book. They ought to hold the guy down, let that dude kick him in the head. Do you see how messed up our world is? Hands that shed innocent blood. And we think, oh, well, that's a woman's right. You just killed a baby. Right? God hates it. Goes on, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A depraved heart, wicked imaginations such as pornography. It leads to more sin. Jesus is the opposite. He's pure. It's unbelievable. You type in Disney, pornography will come up. I mean, you type on anything innocent, pornography will come up. Do you realize how rampant that is in our society, in our churches? God hates it. You know why? Because if you look, and I'm not going to get explicit, you look at Scripture and God teaches us to be satisfied with the wife He gave us. And they put all these images up there, and all of a sudden you're going, well, my wife doesn't look like that. She don't act like that. No, it's wrong. Feet that are swift are running to mischief. Swift to cause trouble. A dishonest witness. False witness that speaketh lies. Willful destruction of a person, Jesus is faithful witness. And then you come to the last one. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. A deliberate meddler. Someone who stirs up one against another. You ever met somebody like that? I see it, man. There are some people, they just have drama in their life all the time. But Eddie, I mean, their life's like soap opera. They ought to make a show about them. They might be wanting them to. I don't know. But it's like every time you say, how you doing? Well, I got this problem. I got this going on with my family. I got this going on at work. I got this going on. It's always something. It's unbelievable. And you won't believe, listen, you won't believe what Matt said to Brother Tim about Brother Kenneth. Unbelievable. What? You know what we do? What? Troublemakers. God hates it. He said it. God wants us to be one body. And someone that's always going to divide the body, God says it's an abomination. Ranks right up there with the vilest of sin. I'll close with this. I believe God wants us to check ourselves. Because you know what happens? A lot of times we'll walk out of service like this and go, you know what? That wasn't one of his best ones. I mean, it was, I know it's God's word and everything, but it wasn't one of his best ones. It's kind of boring. You know why? Because we don't want to deal with what's going on here. It's a whole lot easier to put the blame on something else than say, you know what? Maybe God's stirring some stuff up in my heart. Some stuff I need to fix. I'm amazed at how miserable people are. I mean, they're miserable. And it's so plain, Brother Tim. It's plain they're miserable because they're away from God. And they sit in our churches Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they don't have enough sense to figure it out. That if I get my life right with God and get all the junk out and get all the stuff I'm trying to cover up and all the deceit and all the discord and all the, I'd be happy. I mean, I'd be, Brother Eddie, I know what's going on out there, but in here, man, I'm happy. Well, what we'll do is we'll walk out of service like this again. Hope it's better Sunday. I hope he feeds me Sunday. He didn't feed me tonight. Hope Sunday's better. I hope the Lord shows up Sunday. You know why? Because we don't want to deal with our junk. I'm going to stop with this, right? Do you realize, if I'm wrong, show me the research. Do you realize that most of this COVID stuff, not all, right? So don't walk out, is with people that have other stuff going on with them. Not all of it. But just got other stuff going on. And a lot of it, you know what? Because we ain't taking care of ourselves. We don't take care of ourselves. But you know what the solution is? They don't tell you, eat better, exercise, right? I don't hear anybody say, I don't hear Dr. Fauci telling you go fix some things about your health. But what he says, put a mask and fix it. Go to the doctor. High blood pressure. Not everybody. There's some people not overweight. You look at them, they look fit, they got high blood pressure. But most, you go to the doctor and they say, you know what? If you lose about 20 pounds, probably take care of that blood pressure and that type 2 diabetes. And you're like, yeah, you got a pill? Oh, yeah. Here's your pill. Just give me a pill. Then they say, okay, but there might be some side effects. Okay. Now here's a pill for the side effects of that first one. Okay. Doc, having some side effects to the side effect pill you gave me for the first one. Well, here's another one. Before you know it, man, you look like Walgreens at your house. And don't get me wrong. I know some of you are going to say, preacher is wrong. Brother Jimmy, that ain't everybody. But the average American can do what they ought to do and take care of some of this problem. But we don't want to hear that. And you know what? Same thing spiritually. It's a whole lot easier to blame everything else and say, preacher, give me a pill. Come on, give me a pill tonight, something I can swallow, go home, feel better about myself. But if you won't get in there and dig it and get to the root of it, it ain't going to help you. The Bible gives us guidance. Wisdom guides us if we'll listen. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads tonight. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray for me. The preacher's lost his mind. Help him, Lord. Or maybe you need to come pray because you're mad at me now. Or maybe you just need to come deal with your stuff tonight. We had a church, if we just deal with our own stuff, our own junk going on, right? Not everybody else, not look at them. Just I need to deal with my junk tonight. I need to get some things right with God. I deal with pride. I deal with division. I deal with fabricating the truth. Come on. You'll feel better. You'll feel better. In the long run, living for God is the best life you'll ever live. But you got to deal with your stuff. Got to quit blaming everybody else and deal with your stuff. Father, we love you. Thank you for the message. Thank you for speaking our hearts tonight. Continue to deal with us, Father. Convict our hearts. We may live our life for you. We'll listen to your guidance. In Jesus' name.